What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
26 years ago, get ready, Dave Harrigan, this happened.
Anderson hasn't missed in 2 years.
So that's a pretty good bet if you say, do you think Gary Anderson
not really
will make this field goal? The answer should be yes.
39 yards away, and it's not good.
Wide left.
Is that where it went?
Wide left.
Could be the too high.
Could be the superstar's fault with the snap. Chad Urban, Dave Harrigan, is this the ultimate soul-crushing loss?
Yes.
For a Minnesota sports fan? You
yes.
are correct.
It's not a question.
I don't think it's a debate, but I want you.
Favre in New Orleans was bad.
Yeah.
This is a different strategy.
I got a couple other contenders, but I want you to chime in. I was reminded this on Twitter, and I thought, why not? I'm the guy who all year kept saying, knock it off. Enjoy it. Enjoy the season. Stop telling me it's going to end. And then what happened? They just fell off a mountain the last two games. And you know what they said to me and others who said it? You should know better. You've lived here long enough. You should know better. And here we go. Do you agree this is the ultimate soul-crushing sports loss in the history of Minnesota sports? I mean, we were going to win the after-school floor hockey game, but I didn't have a glove to start the game. I was a tremendous goaltender. Well, what happened is the opponents we were playing, it was my buddy Tom, and I was using his glove, and he said, well, I'm not going to let you use it because we're playing you.
What age was this?
I think it's my fourth or fifth grade.
Okay.
I haven't been the same since. Yeah.
What happened to your glove?
I was using my buddy Tom's.
Throughout the whole season?
Pretty much. And then also.
Couldn't get your own glove?
I should have brought it, but I was so reliant on Tom. And then all of a sudden, finally, somebody threw me a glove after I'd let in like 19 goals. Then I was Ken Dryden. Okay. But doesn't help when you're
before
down.
Before that, you were Trediac before they yanked him?
When you're down 19-0. So that's probably number two. Probably number two at Edward D. Neal School. Is this the most soul-crushing Minnesota sports loss? You can call in right now. Somebody's calling in right now if you want to check and see if that person wants to get online. That's fine. Because I don't see how it's close. I really don't. And I got it on Favre, and we'll get there. Because I could say 15 years ago today, Brett Favre and the Vikings destroyed the Dallas Cowboys. And that was a great season. There's no doubt. But we know what happened the next week with Bountygate. But I just jotted them down. Of course, it was 30-27. They lost.
Really?
Yeah, just want to remind
interesting.
You. In case you had DVR'd the game and just been busy and haven't been able to get to it. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. after Gary missed his 39-yard kick in the fourth quarter. Did somebody else named Anderson make a 39-yard kick to win it in overtime?
They did, but do you remember how many times the Vikings punted in overtime? Do you remember? Twice.
Was it twice?
Twice.
I only remember once because they got the ball.
Twice. They punted twice.
I remember a
Falcons,
third down.
Falcons punted once, obviously.
They threw it deep to Randy.
Yeah.
It was knocked away. The ball was underthrown just a little bit.
It was.
And that was your ball game.
That was your ball game. Randy Moss had changed everything, right? The season before, the season would end where Denny writes a book where he's going to take on the gang at 10, including my guy Wheelock, and he's going to end up owning the team. He's about to get fired, right? And it wasn't because of an incompetence. It was a staleness.
Yeah, it was one and done, one and done, one and done,
that's
one
it.
And done.
Denny Green had come in when the team had quit on Bergeron. And most of us thought, well, they're going to have to rebuild for 2 or 3 years. There was no rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
There was no rebuilding.
They reloaded is what they did.
And, you know, his biggest mistake early is he didn't stay with Gannon. He didn't stay patient with Gannon, right? And he should have. He dealt, gave Sean, of all people, Sean Salisbury an opportunity. You've got to be kidding me. And there was a rotation of McMahon and Moon. And Brad Johnson gets hurt. And Randall Cunningham, who had had those dazzling days in Philly, who was retired.
Putting in kitchen floors. Wasn't that always the story? Every single game.
And he's the NFL offensive player of the year. But Moss changed everything. Because, and they win a crazy Giants game the year before when Denny's clock management in that game was just so horrible. But they just got lucky with a couple fluke plays. But, yeah, all of a sudden you started going down to Mankato. And I still remember Jeff Diamond. I was a little shocked. I played golf. And Diamond says to me, he goes, this guy's just different. I'm like, okay.
We'll see.
We'll see. You know, like I'm Jerry Rice at the time. And he looks at me and goes, no. I go, you already got Carter. I go, you got Carter, maybe the best receiving game. He goes, no. He's different than Carter. And pretty quickly, including the opening game against the Bucks.
Bucks, yeah.
He was different than Carter. Yeah. And then the Bucks, the only team they lost to, down in Tampa. They go 15-1. They score 556 points, then an NFL record. They destroy the Cardinals, right?
Yes. Jake Plummer, I believe.
Yeah, my guy. And on one of the last plays of the game, John Randall gets hurt. Should not have been in the game. But all these coaches, they all do it. They all keep guys in late.
Mm-hmm.
Flip Saunders, final exhibition game of the 2003-2004 season. He has Troy Hudson in the game for no reason. And he rolls his ankle really bad. He never was the same the entire year. It's a little underrated part of that season. Because T-Hud, who would have been an outstanding backup for Cassell, was in and out, in and out, in and out. And then when you get to Sam's injury, because Sam's injury is on here, you got KG and Freddie Hoiberg as your point guards when they're playing Shaq and Kobe. Think about that.
I mean, when you put KG at the point, that's a good mismatch.
Basically, what Garnett would do is he would dribble the ball up court, pass the wing to Freddie, pass it back to him in the orchestrate. Then he's going against Peak, Kobe, and Shaq, and all that going on.
It's fine.
That we can't underestimate how brilliant Garnett was for multiple years. They're leading 20-7. I sat in the stands that day. The press box was going to be packed. I could have pulled it off, but I wanted to sit with a longtime buddy of mine who was a Vikings fan. Had a relative who could get some tickets. We had some good tickets.
Oh, nice. Good connection.
By the way, it was the racial animus that was those words that were uttered after that game towards Denny and Randall Cunningham were disgusting by some people. Like, gross. 20-7. I still stand by it. Shockingly. Turned out it was wrong, but I still think it was the right decision. They get it late in the half. Billick just looks at Denny. What do you want? Keep going. My guy Stussy. That's when, you know, Dan and I are together. That's when we had a run of regulars of Robert Smith, Todd Stussy, and Chris Carter. We're getting some pretty damn good guests on on a regular basis. And Chuck Smith beats Stussy. Cunningham doesn't see it, and all of a sudden it's 2014. But what you also, a lot of people also forget, they're up 27-17 early in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So they're
fine.
Still up 10.
Everything's fine.
They're still up 10. And on the drive where Anderson would miss, and he hadn't missed a field goal or extra point the entire season. Only guy to ever do it. And as Summerall says, he hasn't missed in almost
Anderson
2 years.
Anderson hasn't missed in 2 years.
Robert goes out of bounds.
Yep.
Kept more time on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Did it a couple times that game. And we know what happens. He misses. They go down. And then a part of Denny's legacy with 30 seconds go, and the stadium's like, what the hell's going on? I mean, we can't forget, the Falcons were 14-2.
They were a good ball club.
They were a very good ball. Chris Chandler, Dan Reeves.
Jamal Anderson, heck of a year running
right,
the ball.
Right, you had some talented and talkative members of the defense.
The Dirty Birds.
The Dirty Birds. One like the Vikings were quiet. You think Carter, Randall, and Moss were shrinking violence?
I think when Carter caught a first down ball, hey, thanks for trying to cover me there. I'm glad I got around you.
Exactly.
Well, let's do it again.
Denny takes the knee. 30 seconds to go. Now, you could say it turned out okay because they got the ball back two more times in overtime. All right. Anson, hang on. Your call right when we get back. What are your memories of this game? Is there any doubt this is the most soul-crushing loss in Minnesota sports history? If not, what do you have? And was the last 2 weeks of the season just another reminder? Of course this happened 26 years ago. Of course Bounty Gate happened. Of course they went 0-4 in the Super Bowl. Because that's just what happens to Minnesota sports fans, or in particular, Minnesota Vikings fans. That regular season records are excellent. Good coaches. They've got another good one. GM, I don't know yet. It's a little different. I think the jury's out. I think that's a healthy way of saying it. What do you want to say? I'd love a bunch of phone calls. Anson, other folks calling in right now, call or text. 651-461-9226.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Anson had to hang up. I apologize. I should have tried to get you Anson earlier. He wanted to bring up Darren's drop. By the way, watch it. It wasn't a great pass. It was not a great pass. And again, am I still biased a little because Darren and I ended up becoming great friends? Yes. Watch it.
Did he get his hands on it, Jim?
He did get his hands on it, but it is an almost impossible, impossible catch. But that was the Anthony Carter run. Right? That's, they go 8-7. You got the season stopping for the strike. Mike Lynn basically is playing me and you in the scab game, so to speak. They back their way in. Burnsy's cranky as can be. And Anthony Carter against, it's got to be Bobby Hebert, Jim Mora, and the Saints, right? They go down there and just crush them. But now we got the big, bad, best team of the 80s. We got Montana, we got Rice, we got Craig, and they kick their butt. And the story everybody tells in the media is Reggie Rutland gets an interception, and my father stands up in the press box. Go, Reggie. Go, Reggie. Go, Reggie. Go, Reggie. He's very, very nonpartisan. And then they play one of those many great Joe Gibbs teams, and they're driving with Wade. And they're losing 17-10, I think, where that pass. And then they go to end up crushing the Broncos. I think that's the game where Jay Schrader starts. And Schrader gets hurt and Doug Williams throws for like 18 touchdowns or something like that.
A good amount of touchdowns.
Joe Gibbs, even as much as he's acknowledged, he's still underrated. He won.
That's fair.
He never had Joe Montana, Tom Brady. He kept winning with different guys.
Mark Rippon.
Rippon, Theismann, and the Schrader, Doug Williams combo. All good. Nobody great. That Rippon team, though, that won here, they were fantastic. All right, let's take some calls. Without a doubt, to Dave and I, 26 years ago, the most soul-crushing loss in Minnesota sports history, the 30-27, the Gary Anderson miss, the Denny take a knee, all that. What do you got? Bill, let's call it in. Bill, thank you so much for listening. Go ahead. You're on News Talk 830 WCCO.
So I'm going to tell this story, and my dad is probably listening to you right now in Cottage Grove, but right. He drove me to college in northeastern Missouri, 8 hours away, the day before so we could watch the game. None of the college was open that morning or that early afternoon, so we had to watch half the game in like a rec center TV in the corner. So far, so good. Went to my fraternity house, which finally opened up. Watched the second half of the game in northeastern Missouri with a bunch of Rams fans who didn't care. And then watched the Vikings lose at the very end. He had to drive home by himself 8 hours after that game.
Oh, my God.
How he did not drive himself off the road, I don't know.
That's a great story.
And And in my fraternity room, somehow somebody found an old Brett Favre Atlanta Falcons jersey, threw it on, and did the dirty bird in my room all night long.
Oh, that's great. You couldn't admire it at the time, but you got to admire it now, right?
How do you find a Brett Favre
that fast?
I don't even know.
That fast,
and
Bill.
One last thing. Oh, yeah. I don't mean to diss. Yeah, I don't mean to diss on your advertisers, but the California Psychics, if they didn't see the fires coming, man, I don't know if I would trust those guys.
And just remember,
all right, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Remember, they turned down 98% of those folks who apply.
Only the best of the best.
Yeah, where were they? I love one of their texts, by the way. Recency bias. When I'm talking about a game from 26 years ago, I mean, you're a grizzled veteran, man. I appreciate it. He's talking about the Hail Mary game, which I think we talked about. That's December 28th. That's right up there. That was a great Vikings team. Not as great. Not as, let's put it this way, not as dominant as the 98 team. But that's Rashad's first year. Foreman had an amazing year. Probably Tarkenton's last spectacular year. And maybe when the defense, when they still had the juice in them, because the Cowboys weren't great. I think they were like the dirty dozen because they had all these rookies or something. So, yeah, for sure. I mean, is there any doubt your three soul-crushing losses for the Vikings, if you don't count Super Bowls? And they didn't have any end-of-game Super Bowl drama.
No.
But
I mean, losing to the Chiefs, they were a definite favor in that game, right?
Huge favor.
Yeah.
Huge favor. And the Chiefs toyed with them the entire time. Dolphins, Steelers, Raiders, they were viewed as having a chance to win all those games.
Sure.
I think they might have been the underdog in all those games. Think about how good the AFC was in the 70s. They lost to the three super teams of that. But it's the Hail Mary. It's Bounty Gate, and it's Take a Knee. Put to me, no doubt, Take a Knee is number one.
It's the only game, aside from, like I said, the Chiefs Super Bowl, where Vikings fans went in supremely confident.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I hope we can win this one. I think we've got a good chance. We will win this game.
The
team is going to Miami in the Super Bowl. I can't wait for 2 weeks from now because we're going to be playing in the Super Bowl.
Correct. We were going to Miami. I mean, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Pat has called in. Go ahead, Pat. You're on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Hello.
Yes. What do you have, Pat?
Yeah. 26 years ago, I was hearing you on the radio, so I had to chime in that I was just telling my husband this morning, do you realize what happened 26 years ago? And he didn't know.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you had your heart attack 26 years ago after the Vikings game.
No.
So, We had season tickets and we were there for that game and we were up and down and jumping and all this good stuff. And apparently he dislodged a piece of calcium in his bloodstream.
Oh my God.
And caused him to have a heart attack.
I thought you were joking.
Yeah.
Really had a heart attack.
No, I'm not joking. It was a
That's the definitive Vikings loss right there. Okay, so what happens? Do you go right to the hospital?
Well, it didn't happen immediately after we got home, and in the evening, he was noticing he had some shortness of breath and that, so I took him in, and they hospitalized him, and he had to have a stent put in, and all that. He had to have rehab. It was a long, long rehab after that day.
Oh, but he's doing fine now if you're able to needle him this morning, right?
He is totally fine now and hasn't had any episodes since then. I just wish the Vikings would give us a win one of these times.
Well, give up on that idea. It's never happened. Thank you, Pat. I'm glad your husband's great. More text here, then we'll pause and get to Major. Text, when cutting up drop back to pass before the half, I did this mistake, just run out the clock. Next thing you know, the sack and touchdown. This is when the game was lost. Arrogance by Green. I know a lot of people feel that way, and it turned out terrible. I thought it was the right decision. As a 15-year-old Packer fan, watched the game with extended family, We're all Vikings fans. I remember my mom yelling at me to knock it off laughing too loud as they missed the kick. It was delicious. Oh, man. Blair Walsh and Seattle. Coldest game ever.
Mm-hmm.
Bud walks out there. Now somebody's blaming O'Connell for choking. O'Connell has to own some of the responsibility the last 2 weeks, no doubt. But the game wasn't close enough to choke, right? Worse for me when the ref stole the game for the Liberty. Yeah, that was bad this year. There's no doubt, by the way. They could have done something about it, but it was bad. Other games I just jotted down. How about Gopher Hockey and Holy Cross?
Yeah, that's one.
Sam Cassell and his injury. Gopher basketball, which would have been wiped away, but Eric Harris gets hurt.
Yeah.
Eric Harris gets hurt. But, yeah, this is the top of the list. All right, I'm mad at Major Garrett, and I'm going to tell you why when we come back. Do you have any reason why I'm upset with you today?
I have no clue at all.
You've taken TikTok from me. I'm blaming you. I'm not blaming Donald Trump. I'm not blaming Joe Biden. I'm not blaming those lackeys on the Supreme Court. I am amused often on the TikTok. And you, Major Garrett, you know what I have to do now? I'm going to have to talk to people. I might have to read a book. I might have to get informed about the world as opposed to the 7 hours a day I spend there laying on my couch laughing. So I hope you're happy. I hope you can live with yourself tonight knowing I might have to enrich my brain starting on Sunday as opposed to, you know, looking at that curb clip or looking at somebody falling down or seeing a great comedian or a golf lesson or who knows, maybe an attractive woman pops up. But you, Mr. San Diego, had to take away about 75% of the joy in my life by ending TikTok. Thanks a lot.
There are roughly 170 million Americans on TikTok.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them.
Of course. That's why you took
it
away.
Jealousy. Been on TikTok. You sent me what I think is a very good clip from the David Letterman show. I can't watch it because I don't have TikTok. I won't download the app because I'm not going to algorithmically link my data to the Chinese Communist Party. So I don't have TikTok. I've never been on TikTok. And as such, I am, for sort of anthropological reasons, a media troglodyte. I am like a old species. Buried in the sand.
Do you have power at your house?
Of thousands of years.
Do you have an outhouse? I mean, what?
I might as well.
Do you have dial up? I mean, what, do you take a horse over to the Capitol or the White House? I mean, what else are you missing out on? So this is big news. It was a 9-0 decision.
Right.
All the networks, including yours, pay close attention to it. Donald Trump 5 years ago was, no, we're going to play tough with the Chinese government. We're going to play tough with TikTok. Right. Then he saw, wait a second, these folks are going to support me, donate to my campaign, and then a lot of my young voters like it. I'm now Mr. TikTok. So he's going to be, by the time we talk next Friday, he's the boss. He's in charge. What do you think he's going to try to do?
I think he's going to try to create a U.S. brokered deal. Now, the law is very specific. As of Sunday, this platform has to start to deprogram itself. I'm not sure what the accurate terminology is, but it has to make itself less accessible on a pretty rapid basis. It will be incumbent on the incoming Trump administration to monitor that and to accelerate it in accordance with the law. Trump told CNN today that Congress gave him the power to make a decision about this. That's not what the law says.
It doesn't say
that's
anything.
That's what Trump is saying.
Like
it said. That's not what it said at all. But I think he's going to try to broker a deal. The larger question is, it's ownership, because that's the first way to decouple the algorithm owned by ByteDance, the parent company based in Singapore, but answerable to the Chinese Communist Party. That's the first step in making this less a direct conduit to those within the Chinese government, which has always been the national security fear. not so much disinformation, just a great vacuum cleaner of data in, on American users who are on the platform. If there's an American owner of it, what does that do, and does it change the algorithm, and does it change the relationship to that data? One side note that when the CEO of TikTok, who I've met and talked to several times, likes to bring up.
Name dropper.
He says, look, yes, we're owned by ByteDance. ByteDance is based in Singapore. There is a direct relationship to the Chinese government. All of that is true. But other multinational social media platforms, Google, Meta, Apple, also have investors that are foreign.
That's correct.
And therefore have financial incentives to be tracking that same data. That's not an illegitimate point.
No, I think it's a good one.
But we don't have a law about that.
Yeah,
we do have a law about
right.
this.
Yep.
And the Supreme Court just sanctified it. So it's got to go into effect. Look, you know and I know the Trumpian instinct here is to cut a grand deal, take credit for it,
yes.
and save everyone's TikTok experience. Whether he can do that or not, whether companies want to pony up what would be required, because for 9 months, lots of companies have sort of sniffed around this and put some ideas and concepts on the table. Chinese government, ByteDance, not interested. Are they going to become suddenly more interested? Maybe. And if they do, at what price? This is going to come down to what price. The one thing that I do think is true, and you probably have more experience with this than I do because you're actually on the platform, and this is part of the PR campaign that TikTok has unsuccessfully brought to Congress, is that lots of Americans have built small businesses on TikTok.
Lots of them. I mean, very successful
businesses. Those are not made up
stories.
Yeah,
100%.
These people have found the platform useful,
right.
talked about themselves, their products, and built a new life for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, could they do that on some other platform?
Sure.
No.
I would think. But
maybe not. But they'd rather not deal with the uncertainty.
That's
a legitimate part of this conversation as well.
So I want to pick up on a side part of what you said, because I was clicking, and I watched CBSN too, but I was clicking from Fox to CNN, and Pamela Brown comes on. As other journalists have said often, well, I just got off the phone with the president.
Yeah.
And how commonplace is Donald Trump's phone number? Because I hear this all the time from journalists. I call him, even journalists who he often offers up utter disdain, and he still answers the phone and talks to him. Like, I don't think you're just going to give me the number right now, but do you have Donald Trump's phone number?
Do I personally have his number? No.
Yes.
I know how to reach him, but I don't personally have his number.
Yeah.
There are means by which you go through this process, you know, and it has its complexities, but if you really want to reach him, you can. Now, some people, my colleague Robert Costa, I do think has his number.
Yeah.
And a direct line to him.
I've heard him say, I just called him and he answered and told me this.
Right. Maggie Haberman of the New York Times has had Trump's number for more than a decade, who he calls Maggot Haberman and then talks to right after that and spills a bunch of great stuff for her that becomes front page news in the New York
Correct.
Times.
Correct. On background, he's giving her all sorts of stuff.
Right. Yeah. That's Trump's back and forth with the media. Those of us, I mean, Maggie's got much more experience with that than I do, because she covered him when she was in the tabloid press in New York during Trump's rise. So they have a long, long history. And Trump is, and I'm not breaking any news here, addicted to media coverage, especially those who do so regularly. And that will never end.
Let's do this. Let's pause here and talk about another big news, which broke a piece of big news, which broke today. The inauguration is going inside. This is huge news. This man is as good as anybody in radio. We are so lucky to have him. Major Garrett joins us every Friday around this time. Serious Silly. He's the best. Back with Major in moments. We've had a number of very cold inaugurations before in our history. I was reminded, looking up a few, JFK, very cold. Barack Obama, the first time, very cold. This is planned literally for years.
Mm-hmm.
How elaborate is this? And obviously there have been a lot of talks for the last few days ahead of this.
Sure.
But how complicated and elaborate is this to go from the location we spotted for years to go to the Capitol and condense all this into a much, much smaller spot?
It's something that the Joint Committee on the Inauguration plans for. They plan for indoor and outdoor simultaneously. The Secret Service plans for indoor and outdoor simultaneously. Because in 1985, we did this. Ronald Reagan was sworn in the White House on the 20th, per the Constitution. Then he was ceremonially sworn in a Capitol Rotunda ceremony the next day, January 21st, 1985. So that's our most recent example of the cold weather, and the temperatures Monday will be almost exactly as they were back in 1985, which is why Trump has agreed to bring it inside. It would just be too dangerous, way too dangerous for his supporters, for the media, for the first responders, for the law enforcement, to be standing out for 6, 7, 10 hours in 6-degree or colder weather, because that's what's projected. It's just not healthy at all. It's really dangerous. So that's what's going to happen. And the biggest logistical hurdle is not the Capitol. That's comparatively easy because there's, as I said, simultaneous logistical planning for both. The biggest logistical hurdle will be moving the parade inside the Capitol One arena Monday afternoon, which is what's going to happen. So the bands and those who are scheduled to be a part of the parade will not do so outside again because of the cold. They'll be inside of the Capitol One arena. What Reagan did in 85 is all those parades were canceled except for a few that actually came through the rotunda itself. The vast majority of bands that were invited who could not participate were brought back to the White House on Memorial Day for a parade in Memorial Day of 1985 just to give them a chance to march in front of the White House and be reviewed by the president and have a good time. So adaptations can be made, have been made. But all of us, I think, in Washington are relieved it's going to be inside because it's going to be far safer. Because there was going to be, if it had been outside, there would have been people who would have been under serious medical issues.
Yep.
There's just no question about it.
I have no problem with this. None. And the Reagan idea, having him come back months later, I think is a fair way. I understand the
inspired.
Debate.
It was kind of inspired. They really had fun with it. Yeah.
Okay, we talked California last week. We're going to talk California again. Let's hope the progress continues. But I want to tie to D.C. because I think this is, what's the word I'm looking for, grotesque. I understand we should have a spirited debate on Gavin Newsom, Karen Bass, hydrants, reservoirs, number of firefighters, DEI, management of forest fires, climate effect, all that should absolutely happen. But the federal government continues to step up and provide relief to not Gavin Newsom, to not Karen Bass, but to citizens of areas who live in Louisiana, Miami, Palisades, the District, Plymouth, Minnesota, when a national tragedy happens. And Donald Trump did this at times during his first administration. But now you're seeing the continued reports, including the president-elect himself in a Dan Bongino interview yesterday. We're talking about tying the aid to citizens who may have voted enthusiastically for Donald Trump, right?
Yeah.
This isn't just like California's all Democrats. No. And by the way, that's an affluent area. There are a lot of Republicans who voted for Donald Trump in that area, and tying it in multiple ways, Majors, you know, including on managing the climate out there in a certain way, and also potentially tying it to where the debt ceiling limit. This is craven. This is awful, in my opinion.
So for the audience, here's a trivia question that will stump all of your friends. Listen to me carefully. Ask your friends, if you're at a cocktail party or at a bar, you want to impress everybody, hey, which county in America gave Donald Trump the largest number of votes? The answer is Los Angeles County.
Yeah, think about it.
1.2 million in 2024, 1.1 million in 2020. So Did Harris win 65-32? Yes. Did Biden win 71-27? Yes. But if you want to stump your friends, which county in America
That's
gave
Trump
more raw votes than any other county in America? Your friends won't get it. You'll be the smartest person in the room for at least a night. Yeah. So enjoy that. So, look, the Republicans are all wrapped around the axle over the debt ceiling. So they're looking for something that is must pass that can alleviate some of the pressure. And they are correct, cynically, politically, that lots of Democrats will vote for aid for California. What they are forgetting is this is a terrible precedent. You do not want to precedentially establish that other policy issues should be tied to imperative needs for disaster assistance. And to summarize very quickly, when FEMA gives 100% reimbursement, that allows local jurisdictions to make swift decisions about what its residents most need to recover most rapidly, so they don't ask themselves nagging budgetary questions, because the federal government says, no, we're backstopping. Don't hesitate. Make decisions. We will reimburse you for the most immediate needs right after a disaster. There are other aspects of it as well that are allocated in dollars for home rebuilding or small business loans and the like. But the most important thing you do is you say full reimbursement. Don't wait. Don't worry about your budget books. We'll take care of you, at least in the early days when you have to make lots of very expensive decisions. That's what we're talking about.
Yep.
And that helps every community recover more rapidly than it otherwise would.
We've got a minute. Just think, if Kamala Harris wins and something happens in Alabama, Louisiana, Arkansas.
And
there would be outrage, and it would be accurate. This is not where we draw partisan lines. Never.
Look, I wrote in my book, The Big Truth, the introduction, describes a case in which alienation in our country becomes a civil war by paper.
Yep.
Where states just stop opting out of things. So you know what? If you're not going to do this for us, we're not going to send our federal tax revenue.
Right.
We don't want to get in the position where we become so estranged that we engage in a civil war by paperwork.
100%.
We just start dividing ourselves from one another. We stop recognizing each other. And this is a movement in that direction. It should be resisted.
Get my TikTok back before the weekend's done, okay?
I'll get right on that.
Thank you. Major will solve the TikTok issue by Sunday at noon. I'm counting on that, or else dead to me. Linda's Construction Time Check. It's time to get $500 off your insulation project. Call for more details. Taylor's here. So CBS. Next hour, Shaletta and Corey Provis. I'm Bob Uecker.